Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 1-800-NOW-OPEN or open.com.
Good morning, everyone. Well, coming up in just a few minutes, Democratic gubernatorial hopeful Eliot Spitzer. But first, you've heard the news. Just like that, the sale of Stuyvesant Town and Peter Cooper Village is a done deal. $5.4 billion of Lower East Side buildings being called the biggest real estate sale in U.S. history. They turned down a lower offer from the Tenants Association, and Mayor Bloomberg refused to have the city help subsidize the tenants' bid. Now, for those of you who don't know the history, Stuyvesant Town was built in the 40s with tax breaks and eminent domain land clearance to provide affordable housing, mostly for returning World War II veterans. The selling owner, MetLife, says it long ago fulfilled any obligation it has to keep it affordable. They've been taking full advantage anyway of the weaker rent laws that we've had in New York State for the last 9 years to convert about a quarter of the 1,100 apartments from rent stabilization to market rate housing, and the laws will not change, so people will still be protected in the same ways. In a few minutes, we will ask gubernatorial candidate Spitzer's reaction and if he would seek to re-strengthen the rent laws as governor. Senator Clinton's office sent us a statement this morning saying she will reach out to the new owners, the Tishman Speyer Company, to advocate maintaining affordable housing there. And with me now is a city councilman and Cooper Village resident who led the Tenants Association purchasing effort, Councilman Daniel Gorodnick. Councilman, thanks for joining us. Welcome to WNYC. I'm sorry under these circumstances.
Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. And while we were disappointed about the result, we view this as the very beginning of a process here.
We have Eliot Spitzer ready to go in just about 3 minutes, so we're going to have to keep this short for now. But Mayor Bloomberg's position is that it would have cost so much to subsidize your offer to make it competitive with Tishman Speyer that the money could create more affordable housing if used in other ways. Do you disagree with that?
I do disagree. I actually think that our bid was already competitive with Tishman Speyer. We had put together a bid that was north of $4.5 billion with a tax structure which was very favorable to MetLife under existing tax rules because we were looking to set up a cooperative. Our help from the city would have just maximized the amount of affordability, and that was something which I think should have been important to the city. I think it still should be important to the city as we go forward, even in this very transaction. And there are a lot of ways to do that, including simply freezing a property tax at a particular rate or limited subsidies to be able to create permanent affordability in the community.
And MetLife's I guess you just responded to MetLife's assertion that after 60 years, they quite fulfilled their obligation to the original affordable housing vision. We should make one thing clear, and I think we really owe it to the tenants who are listening to make this very clear. The sale does not change the law, so legally rent-stabilized tenants may not be thrown out of their apartments or have their rents raised. And MetLife was already converting all they could to market rate. So is this sale less of a new threat than the headlines might lead us to think?
Well, Brian, I think you're absolutely right to point out that the tenants who are rent stabilized are fully protected by the law to the extent that the law is present. And we obviously, as local leaders, all support extending and strengthening rent protections. That being said, when you have a new owner who put down $5.4 billion, there are additional pressures that will exist for that new owner that might not have existed for MetLife, which obviously has owned the property for 60 years and enjoyed all of the benefits that you described and the opportunity to develop this land at the outset at very, very little cost. So I think that the change in ownership does create new pressures on the new owner to extract revenue from the property, and they can do that in a number of ways that would have an effect on rent-stabilized tenants, although not specifically as to the term of their specific leases.
And very briefly, we have Elliot Spitzer being seated even as we speak here across the table from me. What would you, Councilman Gorodnick, like me to ask him to do about this as governor, if anything?
Well, for one, obviously, we're very excited to have him come in and to be a new voice fighting for New York City tenants up in Albany. But it is our hope that we can strengthen the rent stabilization laws and create new limits on the thresholds, the $2,000 number for decontrol or the luxury decontrol levels. And it would be great to have his support on both of those elements.
City Councilman and Cooper Village resident Daniel Gorodnick, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.